Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on Big Willie 105.5 and the River Talk Radio Network, a River Network production.
Download the River Network app and then click Big Willie 105.5. You get Dimitri live and dangerously local. Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And then Thursdays and Fridays, Dimitri Encore and Dangerously Local, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Also on the River Talk Radio Network, we've got Mr. Big Willie himself coming on after the 8 o'clock news with some breaking news about something or other he's excited about. Then do I know how to promote different segments or what?
Huh? Do you do.
Do I know how to sell it?
Hey, speaking of which, can I finish my promo?
And then Dimitri Graffiti at about 8:50 or so, you call in, you say and do whatever you want within the rules of engagement. Now you can say
vote for Dolph. Vote for Dolph.
Absolutely.
Because yeah. I wanted to say that before. Vote for Dolph. There we go.
There you go. All right. Our very special in-studio guest. And by the way, this is the first day that we're doing this on Rumble. I have no idea what I'm doing. So check out Rumble, and you'll see the live stream of the show here. You may have to search very diligently on Rumble to find it. They have lots of live shows on in the morning, and I'm sure mine will be at the absolute bottom of the list there. But I think we're on. It looks like that we're on. And if this thing works out, then we can finally offer the Valley a real alternative to Facebook, which is just protecting billionaire rapists. And that's why they banned me for 6 months. Anyway, so very special guest, Dolph Santorin, a Renaissance man who's into 101 different things, also with the Republican Party of Ohio County here in West Virginia. Do you still have an official title with the Republican Party?
I'm the Secretary of the Ohio County Republican Executive Committee.
All right. What does that mean exactly?
That means I do the job that nobody else wants to do.
Really? So who's the chair then? Who's this lazy ass?
Bob Lucchetti is the chairman.
Oh, Bob, come on. Start doing some work here. Don't have Dolph do all the work. Jeez Louise. Anyways.
Hey, at the last meeting, I used AI to take the minutes.
How did that go?
It went very well.
What, a special AI function or just?
I'm trying a number of different AI pieces. I've used Fireflies in recording online meetings, and it works really well.
Firefly, the
it's an app. It's an app. It's an AI app. And basically, it listened to the whole meeting, and it produced beautiful minutes.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's some cool stuff happening.
What kind of cost for this Fireflies?
$15 a month.
That's it?
Yeah, times wow. 12. Start.
Oh. Math is hard. Okay, it must be more than $100. Okay, that makes it expensive. So tell me about the Republican Party in Ohio County. It doesn't seem to be all that powerful, all that influential. You don't really have a lock on all the seats here in Ohio County. A lot of Democrats. Why is that?
Part of it. I mean, when you start looking at the city, you know, you end up with a different kind of person and a different kind of voter.
What kind of person is that?
Well, someone whose proclivities more lean towards what the Democrats are all about.
Uh-huh.
And then that works on both sides.
What does that mean?
I mean, liberal white women, that's a known thing.
Are there a lot of liberal white women in Ohio County?
Probably more so than there are in Marshall.
Well, yeah, sure. Why is that, do you think?
How
big a problem are they?
Well, Dimitri, my mom's one of those, but she's not in Ohio County.
Okay, but the ones who are in Ohio County, because this is a common complaint that I've heard, liberal white women who are causing all sorts of problems nationwide and all that, they seem to be at the forefront of a lot of this stuff, mostly on TikTok. What kind of problems are the liberal white women causing in Ohio County?
Well, I don't know that they're necessarily causing a problem, but, you know.
I thought you just said they were a
problem. Well, no, they're a problem because they're unlikely to vote for me. How's that?
Okay. Is that fine?
I mean, well, I'm a pretty traditional Republican in a lot of ways.
What in this day and age, what exactly does that even mean?
I'm a small government, you know, spend less. Let's, you know, get the government out of my pocket, kind of, you know.
Yeah, but Republicans say that with every election. Every election, they also say balanced budget. Every election, they say we're going to end the Department of Education. Every election, they say the same damn thing, but they never do it.
And every time they cave.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So what exactly is a traditional Republican then? Somebody who just talks it like you do?
Or? No. Somebody who actually ends up standing on it.
Okay.
Because it's just, you know, I don't understand, and this is one of the reasons that I'm running. One of the things I don't understand is how Republicans cave instead of standing their ground. Listen, they're not going to vote for you one way or the other. Mm-hmm. So why not stand your ground? Why don't we get something done?
What's the most important thing that you're going to get done if you end up being the representative in the House of Delegates in West Virginia?
When I'm in the House of Delegates, number one thing is tear down some of the barriers to job creation.
Like what?
Because we've got plenty of them.
Like
there's
what?
There's way too much regulation in the state, from Certificate of Need right on down the line.
What is the Certificate of Need, the single most important thing that you would tackle when you join the House of Delegates?
Absolutely.
What does the Certificate of Need mean?
Oh, the Certificate of Need was something that was put in decades ago by the other guys who were running the government in West Virginia, where they think that they know better than market forces. So they end up, oh, yes.
What is it, though? I don't understand what that means. Certificate of Need.
Okay.
Is it a piece
example,
of paper?
Yeah, it is, but it lets you do things. For example, a hospital wants to have an MRI machine or a second MRI machine. They can't just go buy one. They have to go get a Certificate of Need to do that. There's a limit on how many home care providers can end up being in a county because we have a government agency that knows much better than the market.
Seriously?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In 2026 in West Virginia. Can you imagine that?
What else does
So we've got some bureaucrat with a bad comb over trying to decide what you can and can't do.
So what other what else do you need for a certificate? What does a Certificate of Need also cover? Hospitals? Is it mostly medical?
No. I mean, everything from a haircut.
What do you mean?
Oh, yeah.
The number of barbers?
Absolutely. They issue licenses for barbers. Does that make you get a better haircut? And does the fact that your barber has a barber certificate, does that mean you get a better haircut?
And the Certificate of Need is not about the skill level. It's simply about the number of barbers.
Among other things, but yeah.
How is this even legal? I mean, I'm not joking.
Been doing it for more than seven decades in the state of West Virginia.
Has anybody challenged it in court?
I don't know of in court, but I know it's been challenged on numerous occasions. If I was not running for office, I would be running around the state talking about getting rid of Certificate of Need.
What about radio stations and TV stations?
Oh, that's federal. That's a whole different animal.
All right. What are some other examples, outrageous examples in Ohio County for Certificate of Need? What else does it control? What other areas does it control?
I think the most egregious things that you see with Certificate of Need are going to be around medical.
Be around medical.
Around medical.
And
you know what? We're graying, like it or not. You know, we've got an awful lot. You know, the only part of our population that's growing right now is seniors.
Yeah.
And whether we like it or not, we're about to be some.
Question. Why, since the Republicans have controlled the state government in West Virginia for a number of years, why haven't they actually done anything about this?
You know, in a lot of ways, it's decidedly unsexy. You know, it's not, you know, two of the things I want to talk about on my list, and I'm sitting here looking at my cheat sheet, jobs first, opportunity everywhere.
But those are all just general.
Those are kind of general points.
I need specifics. Yeah. So what are the odds, if you become a delegate,
mm-hmm.
that you will be able to convince Roger Hanshaw, who is the Speaker of the House, and
right.
then Randy Smith in the Senate, to actually eliminate this?
And then 51 other delegates stand up putting it up, and then it has to go to the Senate, and then it has to go to the governor.
What are the odds that you can actually make this happen? Realistically? Yeah.
40%.
You think that much?
Yeah, I think so much. Hey,
not be 100%?
Because I'd be one vote out of 100 in the House of Delegates.
No. Why wouldn't everyone in the House of Delegates and everyone in the Senate be in favor of eliminating this Certificate of Need? Why is this a no-brainer?
It's probably not going to help some people get elected. And the other thing is, you know, the other side of this, the people who are benefiting from it, they'll spend a lot of money to end up besmirching anyone who wants to get rid of it.
And the biggest benefactors of this would be what, hospitals?
No.
The current hospitals? Because that way you prevent...
And it's not necessarily hospitals. In a lot of cases, it's the home care providers.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because all of a sudden they're limited. There's only so many home care providers that are allowed under certificate of need.
So they would fight to have any competition.
Right.
Well, that's awful.
It is.
So I couldn't even open a hospital here if I wanted to.
You couldn't open a home care in West Virginia. You could probably in Ohio, and because I know it's different in Ohio.
Right, but in West Virginia,
yeah,
I could not open a hospital
difficult.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable to me. I mean, honestly, it is absolutely unbelievable. What's the second thing you would do as a member of the House of Delegates?
Again, something that is decidedly unsexy, but we've all ended up paying for it. Look at the bridges. Look at the tunnel interchange, okay, that was 10 years past when it needed to be done because we budgeted to build it. We didn't budget to keep it, to maintain it. And then you end up looking at the Monument Place Bridge, you know, in Elm Grove. And then now we've got Washington Avenue. And, of course, look what happened to that one.
Now.
and the problem is if we build it, we need to make absolutely certain that we budget to maintain it.
So are you saying that you would increase the budget for the Department of Transportation?
No. I think what we need to do is reallocate what's going on with the Department of Transportation.
From what?
We need to end up saying, let's stop for a minute. We're going to build a little bit less new. And we're going to, what we build, we're going to budget to maintain.
Who's
so when we get when we get our second bridge coming over to the island, okay, which I'd be a huge proponent of, because we lost it. You know, there is one way onto the island right now, and there's one way off.
For vehicles. So who's the head of the Department of Transportation right now?
You know what? I don't know.
Dolph Santorini does not know. You want to change this department and you don't even know who's in charge of it?
No.
Get out of here! You are a fair renaissance man!
I want to rattle his cage when it comes to budget, Dimitri.
Well, yeah, but you're not joking. You literally don't know who this guy is.
Correct. I know his second in command. I've met him a number of times, but yeah.
Okay, help me understand this then.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that here, one of my pet peeves, the number of pet peeves, is the lack of any pride that we have here in our area for things connected with the Department of Transportation, for example. The Welcome Center, as soon as you come into on 70, as soon as you come in from Pennsylvania into West Virginia, the Welcome Center there that had been very nice, and now it's just a lay-down yard. It is just, it screams stereotypical.
You mean next to the suspension bridge?
No. Coming in from Pennsylvania. On
70. Yeah. Right.
And it's simply a laydown yard now. That's all it is. It's horrendous. Nobody cares about this. This is the front door to West Virginia from everybody coming from the Northeast, including through Pennsylvania.
Right.
And into West Virginia. This is our front door, and it's a laydown yard. You can't go there. You can't do anything. It's got cyclone fencing. It's got different stuff just laying down all over the place. It's horrendous. It should be our welcome center. It had been.
But there's a plan for that. And
when? How many years? Seriously, I'm not joking. This, to me, it's outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
All right, help me understand this.
Again, this is back to planning to build it and not planning to maintain it.
This is even worse than that. I mean, they just decided to shut it down and just turn into a laydown yard, and nobody seems to care. The suspension bridge, help me understand how in God's name we could spend all of this money and not know from day one that it would not be enough for it to be acceptable for the handle of vehicular traffic. I've never understood this. From day one, they closed it down, and it's like, okay, the plans are we're going to renovate this, that, and the other, but we're not sure if it's going to be for vehicles or not. From day one, I lost my mind over this thing, and I continue to lose my mind over this. Why didn't we stand up as a society, as a community, and say, of course we've got to make it so that vehicles can go across this thing again? Yes, it's going to cost money, but right now you spend umpteen million dollars for a footbridge, the Wheeling Island, for God's sake. What happened there?
Yeah, I think it would be speculation on my part, but that's a fairly complex civil engineering project in order to figure out what. No doubt. We spent a lot of money to analyze it. But Dimitri, let's go back a little bit. When there was car traffic over there, the limit was 4,000 pounds. What does a police cruiser weigh?
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. Do you know what a police cruiser weighs?
No.
5,000 pounds. So the police couldn't even go across it.
So you, most fixed, of the, you fixed the bridge.
Most of the SUVs couldn't go across
fine,
it.
Fine, you, again.
You, yes, you fixed the bridge.
Exactly.
But so the problem is you've got a historic structure, and what it would take to end up fixing it for vehicular traffic.
How much?
Forget about how much. How much isn't the question. It would end up changing the bridge significantly. You'd have to, it would look different by the time they got done to fix it.
Okay. You'd have vehicular traffic, including, oh, I don't know, fire trucks and ambulances going across.
Well, that's why there's a fire station on the island.
Do you think that was money well spent? All that money for a footbridge to Whaling Island? Yes or no?
$18 million, a historic structure. Yeah, we needed to spend it.
For a footbridge to Whaling Island.
Well, we didn't know that. Now we know.
You knew that from day, you knew that from day one. Who are you? You're talking to Dimitri now. Okay, now you're talking to Dimitri.
Did I know that 4,000 pounds was the limit? Wow.
All right. More with Dolph Centering, and it's going to get pretty dicey here in this next segment. Stay tuned.